Hello, and welcome to the Tales Over Tales podcast. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Alicia.
And today, we're recording. Finally.
Finally.
Feels like it's been forever since I've seen you.
It has been.
Hi. I missed you.
I missed you, too. I feel like we start that off every single time. It's like, it's been so long.
Been forever.
But you have been very busy.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so have you.
Yes.
Before we get into our lives, should we tell the listeners what we're drinking?
Heck yes.
Oh my gosh. So listener, Alicia sent me this super crazy ad on Truly Margaritas today, the seltzers. We're going for it.
We are.
We have, tell them the flavor we got here.
So the margarita style we have today is mango chili.
There you go.
So we're going to crack this open and we're going to see how this tastes. I don't know why I am so scared.
You ready?
Yes.
All right, let's see how this goes.
All right, cheers.
Cheers. Ooh.
Oh.
I'm not mad about it.
I'm not either.
That is tasty.
You can taste the chili.
Uh-huh.
You can taste the mango. I'm on the beach right now.
Are you?
In the water.
There you go.
I'm tanning.
Well, before we get into our highs and lows of the week, we have a sponsor ad for you, listener.
Yes.
So give us just a second here to tell you about Anchor.
Yes.
If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Allow us to explain.
Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer.
When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more.
It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place.
And best of all, Anchor is totally free.
Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
There we go.
I know. Look at us.
Should we get into the highs and lows of life these days?
Yes.
My beautiful friend, tell me, how are you doing?
I am finally feeling better.
Yes, listener, Alicia's been sick.
I have been sick for 2 weeks now. I thought it was just a cold. I thought, or maybe like a flu kind of mixed in with the allergies. But I did COVID test and I was negative. So that was good. Finally, after being stubborn for like a week, I finally went to the emergency room. And they're like, you have sinusitis, bronchitis, and you have an ear infection. Here's a bunch of pills.
Pobrecita.
Yeah. So I'm finally feeling better, though, this morning.
Amen.
I finally don't have a runny nose, and I can actually talk without being short of breath. So, yeah, that's been my month.
That's been your month.
That's been my
month. So far.
Yeah.
Everything else is going okay.
Everything else has been going good. Yeah.
Good.
Just been sick. How about you? How are you doing?
Well, first, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Fine.
My gosh. It's been quite a month emotionally. I just got back from visiting with my fiance and two of our closest friends in Virginia. We asked them to be in our wedding in October, and that was really exciting. And it was actually our last trip, our last visit while we're long distance, because he will officially be moving here in just a couple months.
Yay!
So I'm so excited. But man, yeah, getting off that plane and landing back in Phoenix, I was so sad. I was so sad, and it was so hard to return back to reality.
Yeah.
Ugh. But no, doing pretty well. Things have been good. Wedding planning, doing my best to move along. It's pretty crazy. It's just over 6 months.
Nice.
Until the big day.
That's crazy.
It's just bananas.
Yeah.
It's going to go by so fast.
It is.
So.
Yes.
I don't know that we can prolong talking about this book any longer.
I don't think so either. And I think it's going to be a rather short episode, you guys, because this book was awful. And I don't have any other way but
she's not exaggerating. So we read The Hating Game by Sally Thorne, as we shared. Now, we'll get into why each of us didn't like the book. We had our reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It ended better than it began.
Right.
We certainly agreed on that.
But we even got to the point where we just boycotted watching the movie.
Right. Because, listener, we told you we wanted to combine book and movie. Hence the reason we picked a book that has been made into a movie.
Yes.
Yeah. That didn't work.
No. It did not work at all.
Ay, ay, ay. So, Alicia, how about you share with listener why you did not like book?
So, my main reason is because Lucy, who is the main character, she bothered me. She was psychotic on so many levels. Like, her fantasies about Josh and just when things just started progressing between them, she got so, I don't know. It infuriated me. Like, I wanted to throw the book out the window and prayed a bird pooped on it. Okay.
That's intense.
I'm just saying.
That's intense. Okay. And listen, as someone who struggles with my own issues of codependency and kind of from my background understanding of unhealthy relationships, mm-hmm. I can certainly agree with your stance. For me, it was really the enemies turned lover trope.
Yeah.
Not a fan. Right. I just don't dig it.
Yeah.
I can't get behind it. I respect that it happens in real life. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right.
I mean, I've even known people, but it drove me crazy.
Yeah.
It drove me like, you hate someone one moment, you love them the next. And I mean, I'm in a seriously committed romantic monogamous relationship myself. Mm-hmm. So I can understand the love you one moment, hate you the next.
Right.
But still, it just, both of these main characters, Lucy and Josh, just demonstrated some seriously erratic behavior.
They were very psychotic and they were very stalkerish.
Yeah, it was borderline stalker vibes.
It was almost like, if I was witnessing this, I would have probably called the cops. Because it's like, this isn't normal.
I wondered from the very beginning, because HR is involved. We'll get into this. But it's like, did you do nothing?
Yeah, because
I don't understand.
They made it seem like HR, that poor lady, was involved with their tiffs so many times. It's like, how were neither of them fired?
Oh,
like, if this was real life scenario,
no doubt
they would have been fired after like the second incident.
So crazy. All right. So to start you off from the beginning, we've already gone on a bit of our rant. We're introduced to Lucy Hutton, who is our main character. She lives in New York City, works for a publishing company called Bexley and Gammon Publishing. This is a company that was recently merged together, two smaller publishing houses essentially combined to create one bigger publishing company. She's definitely a small town country kind of girl turned city girl, loves her parents, only child, super duper close to them.
Yeah.
I thought it was cute her parents have a strawberry farm.
I know.
That was pretty adorable.
I was like, I'm not going to lie.
I
want a strawberry farm.
So, and we learn from the beginning for employees that worked at Bexley and employees that worked at Gammon, this was a really difficult merger, bringing these two publishing houses together. Mm-hmm. Even Lucy lost a super dear friend, colleague, you know, through the downsizing.
Yeah.
But she is one of the higher ups. She is assistant to Helene, who essentially was one of the managers of the publishing house who brought Lucy over.
Mm-hmm.
In the merger.
Yes.
And Lucy works in close quarters with Joshua Templeman. Tell the listener about Joshua Templeman, Alicia. Not your fave? Not your type?
No.
Really?
Yes. I was hoping, you know, the bird poop was going to happen on him, but, you know, it's fine.
Yo, yo.
Joshua Templeman, he is the assistant to Mr. Bexley, again, part of the Gammon and Bexley merge. And, yeah, just like we mentioned from, you know, just from the beginning, we understand, like, they hate each other. They have little games that they play.
Oh, so stupid.
It's so stupid. Like the staring game where they just stare at each other. And it's just like, why? Why do we need this information?
Her password on her computer.
Yeah.
It's literally like, Lucy hates Joshua. Yeah, or like, I hate Joshua.
Or like, I hate Josh, or hate Josh forever, or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
We don't really know. We were trying to find Mr. Bexley's name, which was another.
It's somewhere in there.
Yeah. But anyway, so we learn from kind of the beginning of the book too that Lucy and Josh are both up for like this really big promotion as like the company begins to like do more changes. So they essentially commit to ruining each other's lives,
to seeing the ruin of each other.
Yes. Literally. Yeah, because it's just how much they hate each other, and that's how much it made me hate them.
It's super cringeworthy.
It is.
It's super cringeworthy and very awkward in particular moments. I mean, some of their one-liners and zingers that they would throw at each other, sure. I will say Sally Thorne is a great writer. Yeah. It was very well written. I didn't have an issue with that. And, you know, it was cute. I'm going to be completely real. What bothered me the most. So I am 5'1", proudly, happily. My significant other is 6'2", I believe. Yeah, I believe he's 6'2". Listen, I don't appreciate digs at my height. He knows that. Anybody who knows me knows that. Alicia's nodding her head.
Yes.
Not about it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree, because I'm 5'3" and my boyfriend's 6'3". He's like a whole foot taller than me.
He calls Lucy shortcake.
He calls Lucy shortcake.
No, thank you. Get out. I'm done.
You're fired.
Oh my gosh.
So that's just kind of the gist. And like I said, readers, please do not read this.
Or if you do, just proceed with caution.
Yeah. And if you want to watch the movie, if you want to torture yourself and watch the movie, please leave us a comment.
Let us know.
Let us
know.
Absolutely.
We're going to continue to tell you, like, we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
By all means. I mean, I may or may not drag Alicia kicking and screaming to eventually watch this movie.
Yeah.
There is a part of me that
is tempted.
Totally.
Not me, but okay. It's fine. I might need a whole bottle of wine first, and then I can watch it. But
we'll have Marco fix you a stiff drink.
Perfect.
Or
yes. I'm going to need like three of them.
Oh my gosh.
To get me out of the misery that I feel like I will ensue, just like the misery I was put in reading this book. But anyway, so we get the idea of their hatred for one another. And after all of this hatred, the games they're playing, the zingers, the name calling. So Josh decides to kiss Lucy randomly in an elevator, which
this is a very passionate kiss, listener.
It's very aggressive.
Borderline assault.
It is assault. Like, this is straight up, like, if this happened in real life, you're getting kicked in the groin and shoved out of the elevator.
Snap a dope. You tell them. Yeah, that was a little
random.
I was right. Do you remember reading it? And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Just happened.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I don't either. I don't get it. I don't know why. Gosh. I don't know why. So kind of like you, I just don't like the idea of the enemy turn lover thing. And of all ways that Sally could have written their love story, like to have it be so abrupt by that kiss, I didn't like it.
It was out of nowhere.
It was out of nowhere. Like, it would have been one thing if, you know, we kind of got the gradual, you know, like they hate each other, but then he realizes that he likes her and like then goes on a date with her, you know, just kind of gradually work into it.
Well, spoiler alert, we figure out like they actually really did have feelings for each other all along and they just wouldn't acknowledge them.
Yeah.
Right. But to that point, it's like, why? I
know. It's like, why did it have to be so abrupt like that? It just, it bothered. There were so many things about this book that bothered me. And that was definitely one of them, too. It was just so random and it was so abrupt. And it's like, dude.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So after Lucy recovers herself, she ends up going home, of course, as any woman naturally would, analyzing, dissecting, trying to figure out the meaning behind all of this. She has this really basically crazy, horny dream.
Yeah.
Fantasizing about Joshua. And you can imagine how this throws her off.
This is where completely, she turns psycho.
Oh, 100%. Like, it throws her off professionally, throws her off mentally, emotionally, physically. Like, I mean, I would imagine it just comes out of left field. So the following day, after having, you know, this kiss and then this dream, what have you, she decides she's going to try to take control of the game that they're playing, right?
Quote unquote. Situation.
Shows up in a black dress.
And it's not just any black dress.
Oh, no. It's the little black dress.
I was literally
honey.
Picturing like tight, short, boobs are out. Like the whole shebang. That's what I was picturing when she was describing the dress. And I'm like, she went from proper shortcake to straight hooker in manner of minutes.
Not even manner of minutes, honey, in seconds.
Yes.
Hi-yi-yi. So, of course, this leads to Joshua inquiring, you know, complimenting the dress. I think he makes some snide comments about it, whatever. Assuming she has a date, or kind of, you know, passively making a comment like, oh, okay, she would have a date. She ends up, you know, well, yeah, of course I do. Obviously, like, I have a date. She ends up connecting with someone. Oh, was it? It was from like their developing department or someone like that. His name is Danny, a coworker who's actually leaving the company. He tells her, I think, on their date that he's put in his 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's actually really kind of nice. If it weren't for Joshua, I feel like Danny and Lucy actually had like this really kind of cool connection. And we do find out from Danny when they go on the date that he had an interest in Lucy and was totally down to get to know her.
Right.
Of course, obviously, Joshua spoils the date because
he shows up at the bar that they're going on a date to. See, this is what I'm talking about with the stalker and the psychoticness.
Like, well, because he asks where her date is and then he's like, oh, I'm going too. Like, I'll be there tonight too. But will you? But why?
Like, why? Why?
So following this, we obviously can sense Joshua's pretty jealous.
Yes.
Joshua and Lucy are tasked by Helene and Mr. Bexley to put together a team building event, a team building exercise.
What was Lucy's idea? Hers was like very calm. She had something.
It was pretty normal.
It was like a normal thing, right? I don't remember what it was. Because what Joshua wanted was...
So they end up going to paintball.
Yeah.
Which is Joshua's idea.
Right. But I don't remember what it was that Lucy wanted to do, but...
Oh, her password was Die Josh Die.
Oh. That's right. I can't believe I forgot that. That was like the worst part of it.
I'm looking. Keep going. Yeah,
while Jordan's looking at that. So they are tasked with this team building. Jordan's looking to see what Lucy wanted to do. But Joshua's big idea was to go, like, paintballing. His whole idea was, well, if you're going to get hurt as a team, you're going to build as a team.
Right. Right.
So it's obvious from the very beginning of this whole paintball excursion that there is, like, this really weird tension between Josh and Lucy. Because it's very clear that they, like, hate each other. But they also find out during this paintball team building thing that they actually work really well together, which I think was a big surprise. Probably more so for Lucy too, because she's already in this psychotic episode after everything that happened. During the whole paintball thing too, though, Lucy is pretty sick. She's sick during this whole team building thing, and
yep,
you know, she's pushing herself to the limit, and Josh is like, it's okay if you don't want to continue, but she's like, no, I'm gonna do this. But she ends up getting really sick, and we find out that she gets food poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, of course, Josh makes sure that she gets home and that he ends up, you know, taking care of her. So from there, she's just really humiliated and mortified. But she's also really grateful because she notices, like, Josh did a lot with, like, cleaning up and, yep, you know, washed her clothes that she got sick in, changed her sheets, did all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we also meet Joshua's brother, Patrick. You want to talk about Patrick?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So yes, listener, we do like Patrick. Patrick's mm-hmm. pretty cool. Joshua ends up connecting with his brother, Patrick, kind of requesting that he makes a bit of a house call, right? So Patrick is a physician. He's a doctor. Joshua calls on him when Lucy is sick. Kind of, you know, as like a favor to Joshua, Patrick comes, checks on her, makes sure everything's going okay. And ultimately... after all of this passes and Lucy recovers, part of the agreement to have Lucy return the favor of Joshua taking care of her while she is sick, basically she ends up getting roped into being Joshua's plus one at Patrick's wedding. So this is pretty crazy. We start to learn a little bit about the Templeman family tension. Because we find out Patrick and Joshua really hardly speak to one another. And we also later find out it has a lot to do with Joshua choosing not to become a doctor, following in the family footsteps, the generational family footsteps. As we kind of lead up to the wedding and Joshua and Lucy are preparing for their interviews for this promotion, there's just a lot of weird kind of sexual tension that's building up between the two of them, especially while she's still on the mend and recovering. And then, oh my gosh, what else ends up kind of starting to happen as they are preparing for the weekend of the wedding? They do really develop somewhat of a friendship. They're working on their own individual portfolios, preparing for their interviews. Danny kind of comes back into the picture, which is kind of nice. They have a pretty amicable ending there, acknowledging that they're better as friends, even though Joshua ends up threatening Danny, which is a little crazy. And this is kind of where Lucy also begins to come to terms with her real feelings for Joshua. And she transitions in the book from calling Joshua calling him Joshua to Josh, mm-hmm. which was also really kind of interesting.
Yes.
You want to take us through the wedding?
We're going to fast forward to the wedding. Obviously we're kind of skipping through a lot of the book, but none of the book was important. So we're going to fast forward to the wedding.
Go for it.
So this is the wedding of Patrick and Mindy. And so while on the road trip, Josh and Lucy, they finally start to get really honest about their feelings. And it's also like made known to Lucy at this point that she's like really attending this wedding as like Josh's plus one for like the moral support of all of this.
Yeah.
But he like does not interact with his family. He's not seen many of them for like a really, really long time. So it's obviously like it's very apparent that this is going to be a really hard wedding. Mm-hmm. Or so she thinks.
I know, right?
Obviously they get to like the hotel and they don't have like any additional like rooms available. So Josh and Lucy have to share a room. So in this time frame, Lucy ends up meeting Josh's mom, Elaine, mm-hmm. who just absolutely adores Lucy from the very beginning.
I thought Elaine was wonderful.
I thought so too.
I loved her.
I know.
I thought she was great.
Yeah. And I was like, how does this make sense that Josh is so evil? Well, you know what? We found out.
Although it was actually really kind of cute, though, Elaine lets slip to Lucy, right, that Josh has been talking about her on their weekly Sunday phone calls. Yep. Mm-hmm. So she is certainly taken back by this. This is something that she does mm-hmm. on her weekly phone calls yep. with her family.
Right.
Which yep. is really kind of cute and it sweet. Is. This is where the book started turning around for me a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. The ending is slowly getting better than the beginning. Alicia's shaking her head. She's like, no.
Still hated
because
it.
This is also where we meet Anthony.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. So... Anthony is Josh's dad. He's a jerk. I want to say other words, but, you know, we're refraining.
Good job.
But he got really upset with Josh back in the day because Josh decided to quit medical school.
Yep.
And he never really forgave him for that. So it seems like things are kind of going well, though, you know, at the wedding. But that is until Lucy encounters Mindy, the bride. And we learn that Mindy is Josh's ex.
Awkward.
Very freaking awkward.
Listener, you should know Mindy is so sweet.
Yes.
Salt of the earth.
Yes.
Super duper nice.
Yeah.
Nothing is as awkward as it probably seems. Mindy does take the time to explain to Lucy when she meets her that they were never right for each other, Mindy and Josh. And as strange as it was, obviously, if it hadn't been for her breakup with Josh, she never would have found Patrick. Mm-hmm. Because it was sort of through the breakup with Josh that Mindy really leaned on Patrick and ended up connecting mm-hmm. with him. And it's one of those one-off type situations, right? Mm-hmm. Sort of I thought about it and I think of it kind of like an exception to the rule, almost, if you will. Rare, but it happens.
Yeah.
So regardless of being told this information, Lucy is obviously not pleased. Mm-mm. And part of me gets it. She feels pretty used and mm-hmm. manipulated. She feels coerced into attending this wedding mm-hmm. under false pretenses. Mm-hmm. You know, she started to realize and to learn, like, yes, I'm here to be Josh's moral support. I'm here to be his friend. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's a lot of family drama. But it's really hard for her.
Yeah.
As she sort of starts to try to open up to Josh and be a bit more of herself
right.
to kind of feel like, oh, you're not who I thought you were mm-hmm. type of situation.
Right.
Which Josh definitely works to convince her that she wasn't lured under false pretenses and that he does really care for her. And she knows she cares for him, too. They have a really nice conversation. They have a couple. I mean, I thought that their dialogue was decent enough. And, of course, knowing this is the moment of all moments where the tension is all built up, this is where their relationship is finally consummated for the first time, if you will.
It's peaked.
And so they sleep together. And definitely at this point, I think they've decided they're pretty happy with one another. However, this is also where they start to have some of those conversations regarding the interviews, where they're like, I'm pretty sure it's Lucy that says it for the first time. She tells him, if you get this position, if you get this promotion, like, I quit.
Yeah.
I'm done. I can't work for you. Mm-hmm. I won't.
Yeah.
And now, knowing what our relationship is, I can't get myself there. And I wouldn't expect you to.
Yep. Exactly.
Either.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yep. So, so the next morning, the family gets together for breakfast, and this is where Lucy's temper, I feel like this has been kind of a buildup between everything that's been happening between her and Josh and just everything far and few in between. She snaps.
Oh, 100% snaps. I was here for it.
I kind of was too.
Best scene ever.
It was great.
It was fantastic.
It was.
I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah. Just looking at this, kind of looking back at the book. She went off on Mr. Templeton.
You want to do some reading?
I mean, I can.
She had the book open. I thought, why not?
Yeah. So this is where she says that her temper snaps. And she goes, "Your son is incredibly talented, focused, ridiculously intelligent. He is instrumental in keeping a publishing house running." What? Licking stamps, answering phones?
Oh, Lord.
And then this is where she goes, "Is that seriously what you think he does?" And then Mr. Templeman goes, "I'm not going to sit here and be spoken to like this by you, young woman. I've seen his email signature block, assistant to the CEO. I don't know what you think you or who you think you are." And at this point, that just totally riles her up.
Oh, yeah.
And then she was like, "I'm the person who knows your own offspring better than you do. He's the person the finance and sales divisions report to. They're scared effing shitless." I'm just going to say it. Fucking shitless. Okay, we're going to say it. Because like I said, it was great. "Of him. I once had a 45-year-old man beg me in the hall outside the boardroom to pass on the document so he wouldn't have to attend. I've seen entire teams scurrying like ants, double-checking, triple-checking their figures. Even then, Josh will always find the mistake. Then usually someone takes a stress day." And she just keeps going. She's like, "The reason Bexley Books didn't completely implode before the merger is Josh recommended that their workforce be reduced by 35%. I've hated him for it. It was cold-blooded, and he can be. You have no idea. But it meant another 120 people kept their jobs, paid their mortgages, so don't you dare try to make out like he's nothing. Oh, and I know for a fact Josh was integral in the merger negotiations. One of the corporate lawyers told me in the kitchen he was, and I quote, a fucking hard ass."
And what's so sweet.
Yes.
So after this, Lucy is just embarrassed, right? Mm. They leave breakfast.
Yeah.
They're headed back to the city. And Lucy kind of turns to Josh after they've left his family. And she goes, "Let me have it. Like, lay it on me. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
I just couldn't handle it anymore, even on your behalf."
Yeah.
And Joshua's like, "No.
Thank you.
Those were all the things that I needed to say, that I wanted to say, and you were able to say it for me, and I'm so grateful." So they make their way back to the city.
Yeah.
And again, we reach, preparation for the interviews, for the promotion.
Mm-hmm.
they're kind of at an impasse.
Yeah.
And again, Lucy insists she would resign if Josh gets the job. Mm-hmm. And she explains even just further how she can't see him working for her mm-hmm. either.
Yeah.
And this is where not only does Josh profess his love for her and yeah. that he wants them to stay together, he lets her know that the reason Mr. Bexley was so upset with him mm-hmm. about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks earlier, is because he put in his 2 weeks' notice. Mm-hmm. And he has actually accepted a position with a rival publishing company. So they're no longer in yeah. competition
no.
with one another mm-hmm. for this promotion.
Yep.
And they are able to stay together.
They're able to live happily ever after.
How did you feel about this
ending?
In
their psychotic... their freaking psychotic stalker just assault on so many levels.
There was a part of me that read the ending and I was like, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
All of this, this entire, how many pages is this book? 340 something pages of hating this book. 340 something pages of wishing they just hated each other. I just wish they hated each other the whole time. It's called the hating game. They're supposed to hate each other.
They do. They did. That's the whole point.
They're not supposed to fall in love. They were supposed to stay hating each other. It was not worth it. Was not
the mango chili truly getting to you? Whoa.
Sorry. Anyway, so with that, I just, no.
There was a little bit left to be desired with the ending.
There was a lot. There was a lot to be desired in this whole book. Okay? The assaults. It was too much. Like, okay, Sally Thorne, I know you will never listen to us, but if you do, girl.
Don't come after us, please.
Oh, no. Come after me. I have to talk to you. I have some problems.
You're terrible. She doesn't mean it. Listen, she's really normally a very nice person. I promise.
She's a nice lady.
What is that from Ferris Bueller's Day Off? They think he's a righteous dude.
I can't.
No, she's written other books, I believe. I would be open to giving her another try and to reading something else, but I...
We need to do some heavy research if we want to choose her again, because I was very disappointed.
I know. I'm sorry that you were so disappointed.
This book was so awful. We were supposed to watch a movie and we couldn't even do that.
No. I will agree on the not watching the movie part because
yeah.
that was... It could have made it better.
How?
All right.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Okay. Ay, ay, ay.
But
we are excited for our next book, though, listener.
Yes.
I absolutely adore this author. She is probably one of my all-time favorites. I've almost read every book of hers. But next month, we will be covering The Lies That Bind by Emily Giffen.
So, you know, this is what I'm excited about.
Why are you so excited for this one? Tell me.
I love Emily Giffen, too. She gives me the feels.
Which ones by her have you read?
I haven't read them in, like, forever.
It's been a minute since I've read hers as well. But I'm fairly certain there's only, like, maybe two of her books that I have not read.
Mm-hmm. So I have read Something Borrowed.
Yep.
Something Blue.
I refuse.
You're like, I refuse.
I can't. Yeah. That's another story for another time.
Where We Belong. I read that one. What was another one that I read?
The Heart of the Matter.
Yes.
Have you read The Heart of the
All
Matter?
All We Ever Wanted.
All We Ever Wanted. Mm-hmm. Yes. That was a good one.
That was a really good one.
What was the baby one? Baby Proof.
Baby Proof, yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So we've read most of them. So I'm excited about this one. Her books are always so captivating.
So captivating. I'm already 200 pages into this book.
I have not started reading, but I've also been dealing with sickness.
I know.
So I haven't really had much of a temptation to read, but I'm going to get on that. And yeah, so that's what we'll be covering. But really quick, though, if you guys decide to read this horrendous book, if you decide to watch the movie, please let us know. You can
absolutely
comment on our Spotify and Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us.
Please. And write a review.
Yes.
We want to hear from you.
We do. Yes. You can also find us on Instagram. We do have our podcast, Tales Over Tales Pod Instagram. You can also follow us individually at Alicia Contreras.
I'm at Miss Jordan Alexis.
Yes. And if you want to write us an email, if you're as angry as I am and you need 12 paragraphs to tell me why you're angry, you can send us an email, talesovertalespod@gmail.com.
Please do. We really hope to hear from you and look forward to covering this next book.
Yes.
But until then, stay reading.
Stay classy.
And stay drinking. Bye.
Bye. Awkward turtles. Did you stop it?